This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Tyler Donaldson. El Nino is on its way out, which could lead to drier, warmer temperatures as La Nina enters. Farmers Business Network regional agronomist Mitchell Roth warns that warm, dry conditions don't always mean disease or pest-free fields.
We often also associate dry, warm weather with low disease pressure, but that's not always true. It really depends on the diseases that are in your area or the pathogens that are in your area. One I like to highlight is charcoal rot, which really actually enjoys warm, dry weather. Usually considered more of a southern disease, but we've seen it creep up further and further north over the past few years, and it can infect both corn and soybeans, so it's one to look out for. The soybean cyst nematode can finish its life cycle quite a bit faster in warmer weather.
Roth says understanding your soil and weather patterns is the best way to know when to start planting.
Nobody knows your fields quite like you do. You know your disease pressure, you know your low spots. You know, if you're anticipating a wetter than average year this year and you've been debating about installing new drain tile or putting drain tile in for the first time in some of your low-lying fields, that might be something you can do to plan ahead, but it's going to depend on timing and your budget.
Welcome rain fell on many of the driest areas from Paraguay to Mato Grosso do Sul, bringing temporary improvements in crop conditions. World Weather Incorporated says much of Brazil received rain as well. The exception was the north central and northeastern area, which stayed dry. Frequent rains are expected over the coming week for the southern half of Brazil. World Weather says much of Argentina will be dry outside of a few areas in the west central and southern regions, allowing for better field work conditions.
Meeting is underway in Fessenden, North Dakota, about transitioning the farm from one generation to another. Nationally known speaker Jolene Brown is on the program. In preparation for today's event, Wells County Farm Bureau Director Jeff Schaefer spoke with other farmers and ranchers.
I asked him, you know, what percentage of your book of business has done anything? And, you know, the scary thing is it's less than 20% is the answers I got, and myself included. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but it's a difficult subject. It's hard to tackle. Where do I start? There's just so many questions. And I think getting someone like Jolene Brown in to listen to is so important. You look at the average age of the egg producer in North Dakota, you know, it's 57 years. So it's time to start thinking about that before it's too late.
Wisconsin has become the ninth state to join the list of farm rescue states. Farm Rescue Executive Director Tim Sullivan talks about how the group helps farmers in need and the importance of what they do.
We started in 2005 with a handful of volunteers and some leased equipment in central North Dakota, and that first year we helped 10 farmers. This last June, we had the honor of assisting our 1,000th family since our beginning. What we do in a nutshell is we are there to support farm and ranch families going through a crisis of either natural disaster of some kind, where there's a storm or whatever. But mainly what we do is if there's an injury or an illness in the family, that's where we come in and support that family through planting assistance, harvesting, putting up hay, livestock feeding, and commodity hauling.
Sullivan says none of this would be possible without volunteer help.
The work is done by the volunteer base, and we have over 650 volunteers in our registry on a normal year, which would be anywhere from 80 to 120 families served. We're probably utilizing 200 to 225 volunteers in a year. They come in groups, they come in single volunteers. We put them with a group, and they're either planting or haying or harvesting.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will join Columbia Grain International next week at Great River Milling to showcase sustainable farming projects funded by USDA's Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities. The event will highlight the availability of the first consumer products from Great River Milling, long grain white rice and long grain brown rice.
Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says the grains are trying to do everything to end the week steady.
You know, right now that's kind of the scenario that it looks like we're going to see in the soybeans. Maybe a little bit of losses. Last week, of course, we had good gains in soybeans. But then we're seeing, it looks like, you know, where if we finish where we're at here on Friday morning, we will see wheat and corn finish with a little bit of gains, which is better than last week. And right now, you're right. It seems like this market is looking for news and marking time until next week's news, which we'll see quite a bit of information coming into the marketplace.
Martinson says next week's acreage numbers will drive the market.
Of course, the quarterly grain stocks is going to impact the old crop because it's going to tell us where our demand is at, or at least help us be able to back into the demand numbers, whereas the acreage estimate is going to give us an idea of where our new crop acres are going to fall. Right now, I think I would be looking at the acres as being more important because that, I think, is going to set the tone for what any kind of a weather rally or any kind of weather impact has on the market.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoop says the livestock markets are seeing some selling pressure ahead of this afternoon's cattle on feed report.
That report should show, on feed supplies similar to last year, so fairly tight supplies. And we're hearing that those packers that were buying yesterday, they're trying to buy all the way out until about April 15th. They're offering 306 on a dress basis as an incentive to get cattle bought for the next several weeks. But the placement numbers, that's one that's concerned. We're seeing 5, 6, almost 7% more placed cattle than a year ago. And that's why we're seeing a lot of selling in those summer months and in the feeder cattle contract.
Reports out of Brazil have soybean harvest in southern Brazil at 80% completion, a notable increase from 60% at the same time last year. This rapid pace is attributed to earlier planting last September and favorable periods of hot and dry weather conditions. Meanwhile, in northwestern Brazil, 80% of the crop, soybean crop, is harvested, with yields anticipated to be around 20% lower than projected. The shortfall is attributed to dry planting conditions and a hot, dry October and November. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The muddy season is almost here with a warmer than average winter. NDSU Extension Livestock System Specialist Carl Hoppe warns of some of the dangers that mud can have on livestock.
Mud in the cow herd or our feedlots can really be a challenge when things start to melt, or if we get excessive rain here in the next few months. And the amount of mud you have in the feed yard can really impede cattle performance, both from just the physical effect of walking around in that much mud. If you ever lost your overshoes in walking through a cow pen, you'll know exactly what I'm referring to. The mud just sucks the boots right off your feet if they're not laced on hard, and that can be a real challenge, not for the cattle owner, but also for the producer, for the cattle too.
And Hoppe advises farmers to take a proactive approach where you can.
Well, if you can afford it, having concrete would work wonderful for a cow herd, but that's usually too expensive. And so that means we need to scrape our lots, create mounds in the lots, have it somewhere so the water drains away rather than settles in. Of course, when we have snow melt and manure in a pen, eventually it's going to be kind of hard to go ahead and do that. And if you get 5 inches of rain on top of it, it just turns really liquid right away. So one option is to move cattle to a different location, a different pen, turn them out to a pasture, especially a sod pasture.
AgriSampo North American Chief Analyst Sterling Smith says the livestock market is also seeing some profit-taking ahead of the Cattle on Feed report.
Ideas for today's Cattle on Feed report, mostly I think we're going to see things a little bit larger, and that's the market sentiment. So seeing the longs lighten up a little bit is part of that. Along with it, we've seen a plateauing in cattle futures. We've been trading basically in the same neighborhood, the same area, for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And when you have fund longs in there and you stop making money, sometimes, you knock a few positions off, just pocket some change, take some profits simply because you do have, some risk there.
Traders also appear to be taking profits ahead of the weekend in preparation for next week's USDA reports.
Corn market, we're seeing a bit of a technical breakdown. We've had a nice little run up here, but the soybeans are leading this. Corn is rejecting some highs here, and I think we've had a fairly reasonable pop here. And I think we're just seeing some ordinary profit-taking, really. We do have the big prospective planting report and quarterly stocks report next week, so taking a little money off the table seems like a fairly reasonable thing going on.
North Dakota honey production in 2023 was up 23% over 2022, despite a recent USDA report claiming the number of honey-producing colonies decreased 2% in that time. North Dakota Department of Agriculture Plant Industries Division Director and State Bee Inspector Samantha Bruner says that those numbers differ from what the state is reporting.
Every year the report comes out, and I really actually struggle with the numbers, because if you look at the number of colonies that it reports for North Dakota, it says that we have 511,000 colonies, but the registration numbers with the state are over 840,000, and they have been going up every year. I think that there's a big difference between what these NAST reports are showing for colonies in the state versus what our licensing and registration is saying we have for colonies in the state. So a loss of 9,000 colonies on the NAST reports isn't concerning to me. I think it's just a difference of who reported.
According to Bruner, honeybee populations have suffered losses, but beekeepers have been able to keep those numbers boosted, but at a cost.
There are those losses happening. Bees are still dying, but beekeepers have, although it's a challenge, been able to make up those losses, and operations are growing. And like I said, new operations are coming into the state. So beekeepers used to replace the queen every few years. And now I would say most of my career here, they've been replacing them yearly. And now more recently, they have to replace them two times a year. So while, yes, they've been able to kind of recover a lot of those losses, it takes a lot to do that. It costs a lot of money to replace those colonies. So yeah, they've been able to do it, but I wouldn't say that there's not a cost to it.
A major storm is being seen across the nation's midsection, including the Twin Cities, parts of Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan. A smaller system is bringing light snow to the central Red River Valley in northeastern North Dakota. The next wave is on the way. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm watch for much of central and central North Dakota Saturday afternoon through Monday. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Michael Johnson. Michael, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week this week?
Hey, Randy. This week I headed up to Sabika, Minnesota, where we got to take in the activities at Short's Sugarbush. It's a maple syrup setup in central Minnesota. This is kind of typical time for the maples to be putting out their sap, and it's actually been going since the end of January for some people in the area. A lot of people that I spoke with here throughout central, west central Minnesota, it's about 6 weeks early. So something a lot of them have never seen. They didn't really have their stuff even set up. They just, it seemed that the temperatures were right towards the end of January and into February, so they gave it a shot and the sap was pouring out. So they've been going hard since then, and we've had a little cool down now recently that apparently lets the trees recharge a little bit, but then we could see another run after it warms up again.
Do you go into the making of the syrup and all that too, or not in this article?
Yep, so I got to kind of go see the whole process with Les Schwartz is the guy who makes it up in Sabika, and kind of a start to finish from hauling it in with buckets out of the woods into his reverse osmosis system and then into the boiler and finally where he finishes in his sugar shack.
Well, sounds interesting, Michael. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week. Let's check numbers before we leave you here this afternoon on this Friday. May wheat Minneapolis is 4 higher, 660 and a half. Chicago May wheat's up 9. Kansas City May wheat 8 and a quarter higher. May corn down a penny, 439 and 3 quarters. December corn's down 1 and a quarter, 475 and a half. May soybeans down 19 and a quarter, 1192 and 3 quarters. November soybeans down 17 and a half, 1187. In Winnipeg, May canola down $7.70 a metric ton, $635.20 Canadian. April live cattle down 95 cents, $187.42. August is down $1.87. March feeder cattle down 97 at $249.90. May down $5.02. April hogs down 5 cents. May lean hogs 87 cents higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.